This is episode 419, dated Thursday, July 3rd, 2025.
You are listening to the In Perspective weekly podcast with Bob Branco and Peter O'Toole.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to In Perspective. I am Bob Branco. Glad to be with all of you today. This is episode 419, dated Thursday, July 3rd, 2025. I would like to wish everybody a very happy and blessed Independence Day here in this country tomorrow. And let's hope that we all celebrate it the way we intended to do that. Peter O'Toole is not available today to be with us, and so I am very pleased to welcome Ann Chiappetta, who will be our co-host for today's episode of In Perspective. Ann, how are you?
I'm good, Bob. How are you, and how is the weather?
The weather is warm and not that muggy. We're in the mid to high 80s today. Tomorrow it's supposed to be a nice day, though. We're very pleased. We're looking forward to that. How about your weather?
Oh, our weather has been, sorry about that, my weather. We've had lots of humidity and lots of heat. In fact, yesterday it was in the upper 90s. So, you know, it's been hot and humid, but also rainy at times too. We've had lots of thunderstorms come through last week. So
it's summertime. Yeah. It's to be expected.
Yeah.
Before we continue, let me thank those people who make it possible for In Perspective to be aired. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer and editor. Thank you for what you do. Our media sources, thank you for airing us. It's much appreciated. And also Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving our shows on my website. In order for you to find them, just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to In Perspective Podcasts. Click on them and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And as Peter would say, merci, Jackie. Mm-hmm. I would like to say hi to Tricia and also to Herbie for helping us out today with our podcast. Thank you very much. And we are being streamed live, of course, and because we are, let me give out my email address for those people who would like to send us comments. We always appreciate comments from our listeners. Keep them coming. We would like to hear from you as to how we're doing, because this show is all about you. Our email address is bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. We are very pleased to have back again on In Perspective somebody that we haven't heard from in a long time, but she's been a guest in the past. Her name is Renee Rentmeester, and she produces a program called Cooking Without Looking. It is a TV show. And Renee is here to tell us all about that program. Renee, welcome back.
Thank you, Bob. I always love being with you guys. So thank you for asking me.
That's quite all right. We love being with you too, Renee. And now, it's a TV show, so I think our listeners' first instinct might be, where do we see it?
Well, we were on PBS, and to keep the copyright going, I keep it as Cooking Without Looking TV show, and we have a podcast. We've had it since, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and we can see it on our YouTube channel, and we tape it once a month. So we send out the Zoom link, and you can view it or enjoy it on there live.
Okay, and just let me clarify. This program is about blind people who can cook.
It's, how should I say it? It's, we feature people who are blind, who like to cook, but there's a much greater purpose in it. I found that oftentimes, you know, there are lots of wonderful programs for people who are blind to learn how to do things, but the rest of the world doesn't see it. So we've created this TV show. I created it, the executive producer. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we give a platform, we give stage to people who are blind or visually impaired. Sometimes, you know, I know you guys, you, many people are maybe losing their eyesight, but they're a little afraid to go to a regular, like a lighthouse or something. They're nervous about that. So we have a way that we showcase many people who are blind, visually impaired, low vision, and people can go there to see some tips and tricks from others who are blind or visually impaired until maybe they get the courage to get some help for themselves when they go to an organization such as the ACB or a lighthouse.
And before I turn the festivities over to Anne, I just have one more question for now. When did you come up with the concept, or I should say, how did you come up with the concept?
Well, I came up with the concept in 2001. My background is television. I've worked in TV since I was 17 years old. I'm not 18 or 19. So I've been doing it quite a while, over 40 years, nearly 50. And I visited Brazil, and a friend of mine took me to a place called Laramara, which is like a lighthouse. And it was developed by a doctor whose daughter went blind, and he actually was an ophthalmologist. So it was so cool. It was different from what our lighthouses are. It was like really modern and upbeat. And I just thought I wanted to leave a legacy. I had left CBS and started my own advertising and media relations business, and I wanted to leave a legacy because I've sat on like so many boards. I think I'm up to 8 boards now. You know, when you're in the media, people love to get free advertising, free everything like that. So anyway, I wanted to leave a legacy for my family. And since my background was TV, I wanted to choose something that was, I felt like, most people don't know blind people, and that's why I felt like people who were blind were often like left out of the mix, or as I like to say, they were left out of the party. Life for me is a party, and you invite everybody to the party. I know we call that inclusion. I lighten it up a little bit. But so that's what I did. Since my background is in TV, I started creating the show. I found a chef who was blind. He was a professor at Florida International University. I asked him what he thought about it. He thought it was a great idea. And then I just went with it like one step at a time until I've gotten to this point.
So Renee, this is Annie.
Hi, Annie.
First of all, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about you. I've read articles and things like that. I am a cook. I love to cook. I've been cooking since I was 9. So
You're invited.
I'm gonna, yeah. But I noticed that one of your taglines is changing the way we see blindness.
Right.
And from what you were just talking about, that's definitely, pivots right into that. And what I was thinking about when you were talking was how isolating disability can be. And just being able to set the table and make a simple meal is it increases your independence and your self-confidence. And I really commend you for bringing this all out in a positive way and to encourage people to reach out and do more, not just for themselves, but, for other people that see them. Maybe as less than or not as secure. For me, it's a big deal for me to be able to cook a meal, and be able to say, I did that. Sure. I did it all. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, Annie. It's just, it is like, I can't even imagine how daunting it is. Sometimes I cook by myself here and I'll close my eyes and I'll try to do something, just to understand. And all these years, I've learned from all the people on the show, all the people who've interviewed me. And I just think about it all the time. Even when I'm cooking, I'm thinking of new ways I can tell people how to actually like make cooking easier, because I love to cook. I don't want people thinking they have to mimic, you know, those crazy chefs on TV. You be you. That's my motto. You be you.
Yeah. Do it the way is comfortable for you.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Comfortable and safe too. Safety is key. Yeah. There are those skills that you learn when you're a blind person around the stove and things like that, that you just need to know, and you just make them, you know, into your daily routine. But there are new things too, like silicone that makes so much things so much safer now. You can, cause you have the pans, you have the little things that go around the racks. You've got the mitts. You've got a lot of things to protect you in the kitchen now. So.
That's right. Well, I'm laughing because one day we were taping a show and it was about a knife safety. And
right.
One of the things was that you never cook barefoot. Okay. I was the wrong person to tell that because like right now I'm barefoot. And I went home after taping the show and I was cooking and sure enough, I dropped a knife on my foot. It was not a big deal. It just bounced right off. I've got bony feet and it was no problem, but I think that, you know, oftentimes like family members of people who are blind get very nervous about their family members who are cooking.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know what? You know, when you're sighted, you don't care. You don't think about what you're doing, but a person who's blind has been well trained in safety and in whatever else, you know, you need to learn and making the recipes. So I'll tell people, like, I've been contacted by family members, and I have one lady, her daughter actually came and carried the oven with her husband out of the apartment, and she couldn't cook, and she'd been cooking forever. So I had to talk to her daughter and calm her down. and you know.
So you're a therapist too, not just a...
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other story. Next lifetime, I'll make the big bucks in therapy, but I cook free of charge.
Renee, I'm going to make a play on words here, and I mean to make this pun, but it's a very appropriate question. What are the ingredients that go into an episode of Cooking Without Looking?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now what I do, well, I always do this. People will call me or message me and they'll say they want to be on the show. Like this one young man the other day, like it was like at 8 o'clock at night and he messaged me. He wanted to be on the show. He's from Blind Visionaries. I said, yeah, of course. And so I told him what we had to do. So first I have to get people to be on there, right? I have to. Most often I don't go looking for them. They just seek me out, which is like a huge plus. And then I get to know them. Sometimes I put them on the podcast if they want to be there and the show. I get their recipes. I get their photos and I make them the Cooking Without Looking recipe of the day, right? And then after that, I tell my hosts, I've got Sylvia Stinson Perez and Alan Preston. Alan's been with me like the full time, the 24 years. And so then I tell them, okay, this is the date we're taping. And then I, you know, depending on if that person wants to be on the podcast or not, then we jump on to test technology 45 minutes ahead of time and just to get to know one another. You know, it's nice to speak to one another and feel comfortable so you're not stiff with one another, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like treading water here, you know, with a little conversation, light conversation, some laughs. We have a lot of laughter on our show. And then it gets to be 3 o'clock and we start off. So then that's it. We just go from there. It's amazing. It seems simple, but it's also like just making sure all the pieces fit in.
Right. Good preparation makes a good show, right?
Right. Exactly. Oh my God. I forgot the script. I write the script. The script is like
weekly?
30 pages of like really huge type, 36 point type. And I send it over to everyone on Sunday and then we do that. The script is more of, it's research on my part, but it's also more of an outline. Like nobody has to memorize anything. Alan has like some sight left. He sees shadows, and it's the same for Sylvia. Sylvia sees shadows. She's got retinitis pigmentosa. So
that's what I have.
Yeah.
Who are Alan and Sylvia?
They're our hosts.
Okay. Now, is it weekly?
No, it's once a month. Okay. And we get people on. And then we just started. We've got a sponsor. It's called Any Day Cookware. And it's delicious gourmet cookware for the microwave, where it's not the usual, like, you know, you get a microwave and pop your popcorn, throw your leftover pizza in there. It's really beautiful. And so we have like a little contest each show to see who can win. I don't know if you guys know Florence Walsh. She's got a popular Facebook page for cooking, and she won it this last time. So
well, good for her.
Yeah. We have a lot of fun. We try and make it fun for everybody. We focus on the abilities. We don't focus on disabilities. We focus on strategies, you know, and that comes from the people who are on themselves. I don't tell anyone what to do. I'm sighted. I'm not going to do that. That makes no sense. But we all learn. Like when I tell people that I have a show which features people who are blind and they're saying, oh, you teach people who are blind. I'm no. They teach me and everyone else, because we have sighted people watching. We have blind people watching, you know, everybody. But, you know, that's an old stereotype. So I am always like battling stereotypes, which I'm sure you guys know so much.
Oh, yes. So this is Annie. Let me take you away from this a little bit and say, where are you from? What are your origins? Why cooking? And maybe tell us a little about your favorite food.
Anything. I was born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of the Packers. I used to be a Packers cheerleader when I was younger. I can still high kick somewhat.
Woohoo! Good for you. I mess a hip if I tried that.
I always tell the younger people, like, you don't have to become sick or anything during your lifetime. If you keep moving, like, I run every other day, and I also drink plenty of water, because, like, one time I almost didn't, and I was like, I felt like I was...
Yeah, water's important.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I worked like 6 jobs to get through college at the University of Wisconsin in Eau Claire. I started in college at WEAU, which is, and WAXX, WAYY. It's a TV station and radio. And I was like the nighttime reporter who would go to those ever so fun council meetings and then write.
Oh.
I had no problem sleeping, but, yeah. And so then I moved to Miami and I got a job as an advertising copy writer at what was the independent station in Miami, WCIX, and it turned into WFOR. And I was also on the news desk. I was the assignment editor on the weekends and during the week in Broward. And so I've done just about everything in TV. In fact, I was asked, once I left the station, I was asked to actually teach people from Bosnia and Herzegovina after their war. I helped to teach them how to set up a TV station, how to start a TV station.
Wow.
Yeah, they were funny. It was funny because, you know, there was that war and that, you know, it parted family.
Yeah.
And so there was one guy. It's always funny. I love talking to people from other countries. It's so much fun because of what they think America is, right?
Yes, right.
And so there was this whole room of people, but there was this one guy who wanted to be an American because he had these sunglasses on, this brightly colored flowered shirt, and this hair all dudeed up, right? Like moose to the max. And he was funny. He was sitting in the back. I can still see him. He was leaning back and his arms were crossed over his chest. And he goes, well, I had a translator, but what he asked was, when do you put on naked people? And that we do not have that kind of a TV station, sir.
Wow. So yeah. Interesting. Like all these fallacies, right? You know, you walk outside your hotel room and someone's going to rob you, that kind of stuff.
Well, no, not even that. It's just funny the way people think about Americans. In fact, when I was in Paris at one point, I just didn't want to be, all of a sudden I heard these loud Americans coming down the way. A big group of them. And I was like, no, letting them go on the elevator. They can go on the elevator without me because they, you know, it can be kind of crazy. But what I, you guys will laugh. I interviewed for the podcast a couple of weeks ago, a young blind woman from Brazil, right? And I asked her, well, she was telling me about all the Brazilian food because I stayed there for about a month and I loved Brazilian food and the people are so sweet and almost a spiritual place. If you go out to eat, it seems like the bartender and the waiters and everything want to be a part of your party and help you have a good time. And so I asked her, well, what do you consider American food? She goes, oh, I call it fat food. I couldn't stop laughing. I go, my God, this is so honest of you. And she's an English teacher and, she's also going for her master's and she wants to study abroad. So, it was pretty funny. She loves bacon and hamburgers. That's what she loves.
A signature American food, that's for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, where can we find your shows? You said earlier, did you have links to them? Or?
Well, yeah, we do. Well, we have a Cooking Without Looking YouTube channel and you can find our podcast anywhere you get your podcast. And we also have Alexa enabled. We're Alexa enabled. So you can just ask for it as well as, I'm blanking now. It starts with a D. It's especially for people who are blind. I can't think of it right now, but Victor Reader. I don't know what this
Victor Reader, Victor Stream.
Yeah. So have both of those and most of our people we have reached and I just looked at our numbers. We had 20 different countries from around the world last month.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. It makes you feel really good because when we were in Palm Beach on the PBS station there, I always wanted to be around the world, you know, because everybody can learn from everybody else. I love people, you know, in college, I had people from Hong Kong and Japan who are my roommates. I've lived with people from all different countries. And the greatest thing you find out is that really we're not all that different. And so
connecting through food, right? And those comforts that we all connect with. Yeah.
And we, you know, I think of the same way with people who are blind and versus sighted, you know, we're not all that different. We're not all that different at all. You know, we all have challenges of some kind. And honestly, I've heard more sighted people complain about whatever little issue they've had. Like usually they'll get on and complain about Comcast or something, but you know, and I would have no problem believing that people who are blind or low vision would, you know, complain, but I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it nearly as much.
By the way, Renee, you might be very pleased to know that my A lady can play episode 159 of your show. It's a Brazilian theme.
Yes.
Wonderful.
It played it.
Renee, do you know how many YouTube subscribers you have on your?
It's, I just looked before I got on here. It was, I think like, 565. I haven't tried to push it, but I'm going to start because I want to like monetize off of it.
Right.
Basically, you know, I use my own money for this for the most part. And so I have to, you know what it is? I want to go on every day and read off our recipe of the day and our kitchen hack of the day, but I'm worried that my hair isn't quite right or my makeup isn't. and so, you know, that's just, I don't know, that's just an excuse, right? So I have to push myself.
Well, I say just tie up your hair and go for it.
You know, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
You know, just say, hey, this is me today.
I know. I'm not going to be on the Vogue anytime, on the cover of Vogue anytime soon.
Oh, me neither.
Renee, I recall a few years ago when you went to Africa.
No, we were going to Africa. But
you never made it there. I'm sorry.
What happened? Well,
don't be sorry. We had a pandemic. There was nothing we could do.
Oh.
So we do have a show from South Africa. They're, oh my God, they're so sweet. The Cape Town Society for the Blind in South Africa. And they made two recipes and like delicious. One was translated into grandma's blanket. And I don't know if you guys have had this. You maybe have. It's very similar to the stuffed cabbage that we make. I'm Polish background, partially. A quarter of me, like my
I just made that the other day.
Yeah. So, and they call it, the word they have for it gets translated into grandma's blanket. So the cabbage is like grandma's blanket.
Wow.
But yeah, you can find that show. That show's there.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that.
We did a lot of shows from other countries. We have Belgium. We have the Bahamas. We have 9 different countries on top of the United States where we actually shot blind people. Well, we didn't shoot blind people, but that's just a term. We shot.
Filmed.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the industry, we always say shoot, but when it comes out of your mouth, it just sounds really horrible.
Well, yeah, we understand.
Yeah. Been shooting people for 20 years now. But we did that. We've had those shows and they're still there on the YouTube channel. A whole bunch of them. And I love the food from other countries because you learn so much from their food. And in a lot of ways, the food is very similar. Like, okay, the young woman was Samara Ramos from Brazil, and she gave the Brazilian name for what she was making. Well, my grandma used to make the same thing, only we called it croquetas. So it was like chicken, ground chicken stuffed and fried. You know, you put it in like a little crust. You make a little crust on it. I teased her because I said I'm like really horrible at that. Like I lose my crust all the time. And I'm horrible with fried chicken. My daughter's trying to fix that for me. But it's amazing how from culture to culture, things can be very similar. We just call them something different. And again, we're more alike than we are different. That's my motto that I live by.
That's great. You know, what I think of is dumplings. Every culture has a dumpling, right?
You're right. I noticed that one day because I totally love dumplings. And I realized that, yeah, like Chinese dumplings, we have that. Chicken dumplings.
Ravioli is a dumpling, right? Yep.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Little meat pies. I call them little baby meat pies.
Baby meat pies.
But, that's what happened to that South Africa show. One day, I'm working to be picked up by like a streaming service, like Discovery, Warner Brothers Discovery. I've been sending them stuff and I've gotten a couple of letters back and none of them were negative. So we can just like hold our breath and see. And I want to bring everyone with me, including you, Bob, and Herbie, and Nanny, and Patricia, and Nigel. You know, I'm like a real loyal person. So if we get some sort of a contract, I haven't heard anything in that way. Just like, oh, you know, we we've received your videos. But I do it after every show. That's what I do. I go on my producer portal and I send it over to them. And
wonderful.
Frost.
Yeah. Yep. That's great.
So let me see if anybody else wants to be added to our discussion here. You're listening to In Perspective. I'm Bob Branco. She's Annie Schipetta. And our guest is Renee Rentmeester, producer of the Cooking Without Looking television program. Trish, do we have any hands raised at this particular time?
We do not have any hands.
Okay, when you do, just feel free to interrupt us and we'll take them on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got one.
All right, who do we have?
Matthew.
Hello, mm-hmm. Matthew, how are you?
Matthew, you're still muted.
I am. If you're on a phone, it's star 6. If it's on a computer, it's star Y. I mean, control Y. Or alt 8, depending on what kind of computer you have.
Let me show you.
Alt Y, I mean. Matthew?
Okay.
Matthew, go ahead and unmute.
There you
I'm
are.
Still here. I'm sorry. I didn't hit the okay button from the very beginning to say I wanted to speak.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to know. I heard at the beginning you had mentioned that we can watch the show live. What days and times can we watch it live?
It's different every month. Usually it's a Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So I put that out there. If you want me to send you the email, I send the link and everything to everybody. If you want, I can have your email if you want. Or you can email me. Either way.
Okay. Okay. And is this through ACB or is this something separate outside of that?
No, it's through me.
Oh, it's directly through you. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it varies.
Well,
let me clarify, make sure you and I are on the same page. Cause when I hear live like right now, like we're talking now, as opposed to recorded, but live.
No, it's live.
It is live. Okay. No editing. Live.
And then the recording of our live goes on to our YouTube channel.
Okay. That's what I'm asking. So on the YouTube, you can't watch it live.
Well, no, but you can watch it live if you join our show.
Okay. And so I'd have to look at my local PBS station to get the live actual.
No. I send you a Zoom link.
Oh, so okay.
If you give me your email, I can always put you on the list. And it's usually one of the Thursdays in the month. Last week we taped a show on Thursday.
But okay. Do I give you that spot now, or do I have to do that?
Let me ask Trish what's appropriate. Trish, what do you think we ought to do in this case?
If she's not affiliated with the ACB community, I'm going to say it's okay. But Herbie, do you agree?
Yeah, as long as any public information is okay, just as long as it's not private.
Right, and okay.
Okay, well, it's my first and last name.
I would also like to say, if you could give us your information, Renee, too, because I would like to...
I was going to ask for it anyway for the general public.
Okay, so.
Sir?
So what is your contact information, Renee? You can give it now if you'd like.
Okay, my email is the same one you email me at. It's Renee, R-E-N-E-E, R-E-N-T, M-E-E, S-T-E-R, @gmail.com. So it's like rent, like you pay your rent, and then meester, which when you put it into Dutch, it's like a master of rent. I'm a landlord. So
does that mean that we have our own meester that we pay rent to in our apartment here, Renee?
That's right. I actually have a cousin. He was on our show. He's from Belgium, and he spells his name with an S, but all rentmeesters around the world are related. And he's blind. He's actually a blind chef.
And that's awesome.
I wouldn't have met him except for Facebook.
Huh. Wow.
I am.
And we do have another hand.
Thank you, Matthew, for your participation.
Thank you, Matthew.
All right.
Next we have Paige.
Hi, Paige.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes?
My question, Renee, do you have any cookbooks that you have? I'm just curious.
We used to have one, but some people asked us if they could, like, come in with us and sponsor, like, a cookbook. And what I did was I did some research, and I found that most people, blind or not blind, really didn't use cookbooks anymore. We did do a cookbook when we were in Miami Beach, and we even had a CD, and it was, we had someone speaking the whole, we had an actress, a voice actress speaking the thing. But most people don't really use cookbooks. If you ever want anything or a special recipe, I happily just personally email you something. And then you can also subscribe to our website. Do you want that now?
Yes, I think so.
You get recipes every single day free to your website, along with like kitchen hacks, like tips and things. It's www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. Again, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And if you get to doing it and you can't remember that, just, you know, Google Cooking Without Looking TV show and you'll find us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Paige.
And anybody else? Clear for now.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Annie?
Oh, so Renee, I was thinking about, do you ever have any shows where, like, that with kids? Like,
yeah.
Gordon Ramsay has, I love the Gordon Ramsay kids cook. Those junior yes, chefs are fascinating.
We do. And we don't have like, you know, chefs, child chefs. I think I've heard of his show, but we have had children in the past. And I actually asked the lady Mary Allen over at the Lighthouse of the Palm Beaches. And most often we can do one of those shows during the summer because the kids are off.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. So what is the first recipe you remember cooking for yourself?
It wasn't really a cooking. It was baking. I made brownies from scratch. Now it's a funny story. My mom ruled the kitchen, and so I could never go in the kitchen to cook. Or anything, because she was afraid I was going to burn myself or burn the house down or whatever. So when my dad and her would be going grocery shopping and they took my brothers, I would like zip over to the kitchen and start baking something or cooking something. I'm more of a cook than I am a baker. And so I made brownies, and the center was brownie soup. I took it out too early. And mom wasn't too mad that I did that when she wasn't there. But, but yeah, that's the first thing I ever made on my own.
I think mine was macaroni and cheese.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, from the box.
Oh, yeah. I did that in college. But you know what? I never had, my mom never made that macaroni and cheese of any kind for us. From the box I made in college, you know, 25 cents a box for crap.
Right, right. Yeah.
Can you believe that? It's not that much.
I know.
And then I made my own mac and cheese beginning only a couple of years ago because it wasn't something that I really ever made.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's so, you know, you were talking about, you know, how we have similar things, cooking and different things. One of my fondest memories is my grandfather's cookouts. He was Portuguese, and he went all out, like the steaks on the grill and it, you know, just everything. And
did you have a lot of seafood?
Once in a while he would put, if we got a bluefish or something, he loved that. He loved the oily fish with all the bones. So he was really into that, and he insisted not to cut off the head or the tail.
Oh my like God.
That. And
oh.
He would stuff it with all kinds of chilies and stuff and do it just for him. And one of the things he did for us, it was he would take the big baking potatoes and wrap them up in foil and stick them under the coals. So we would have fresh Oh, that's the best way to have a baked potato.
Oh, yeah, 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 and, definitely.
And we do have another hand.
All right. Who we have?
Matthew has his hand up again. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, Matthew, go for it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask because I don't do much in the kitchen cooking. I do more of the outside on the grill kind of cooking, smoking and grilling and that kind of thing. Do you guys do that kind of showcase?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, every year, like, okay, I do a cook along, cooking without looking cook along with Blind United of California. And once a month, in fact, it just passed on Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month. Every year I do barbecuing show and Ralph Smith, who's a member of our foundation, he comes on graciously. He's totally blind and he gives us barbecuing tips. He uses a Traeger grill and he does some amazing work. I always have him on. Because I can't possibly tell you how to barbecue blind. I mean, I can sort of, kind of, but it wouldn't be authentic.
Yeah, I don't. I'm a South Texas guy, and we would consider that cheating. Not using wood or charcoal. Grill? Yeah, because that's cheating with the pellets. You just feed the pellets in there and let it do its thing.
I don't think he does that. No,
well, that's what the Traegers are.
They're versions.
Say it.
I think there are a couple of versions of that, of the Traeger grill.
I don't remember them having a wood smoker or a charcoal type.
He does. He puts it on. In fact, he was talking about what he uses. Yeah. Okay. I remember him saying, talking about applewood and that. I thought that.
Ooh.
I know.
Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Well, that's cool. I guess I'm going to have to email you, see what happens in the future or something.
Sure, of course. You're always welcome. Everybody's always welcome. If you have a question, I have no problem. Just email me and I answer like within the same day, probably within the same hour even. If I see it, I just answer it.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you, Matthew. Have you ever had anybody on your show, Renee, real famous, if you know what I mean?
I stay away from that, honestly. But I did on my podcast, I had Michael Hinkson, the man.
I know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had the lady from MasterChef, who was blind, and she's got like a series of restaurants, I believe, in Houston. So
her name is Christina.
Yes,
that's right.
She's in one of our podcasts. So if you go into our podcast, she's in there. She's very sweet, very sweet. In the very beginning, people always, since my background is in television, I got really sick of people who were celebrities. I love regular people like you guys. And I that's more interesting to me than someone who's a star. So. I want the regular guy, the regular gal showing and showing what they can do. That's my favorite. I don't even watch cooking shows. I refuse. I guess maybe I'm the only one. I because I don't want it to appear that I'm copying anyone, but also I'm not because we're the only TV show which features people who are blind or visually impaired. And the show is for anyone. I make this comment all the time. We're not just for blind people, we're featuring blind people. So, you know, it's for everybody. I use the tips I hear. The other day we had Geraldine Higgins on. I don't know if you guys know her. She's become a chef. She was on one of our early shows on PBS in Florida, and she's become a chef now, professional chef, and she's got a cookbook out, so you guys can get her cookbook. But it's just sort of fun to see how people progress throughout the years. And it means a lot more to me to have someone, just a regular person, put on that stage than someone who's just used to it.
You know, Renee, I sent you a document of a cookbook that I compiled.
I saw that. I emailed you back. I said I'm going to take a look at it.
13 years ago, I collaborated a book called What We Love to Eat, And all I did was collect recipes from blind cooks cross country, and I compiled them into a book. And my idea, Renee, would be if you wanted information about any of the cooks in the book, you can email me and I'll try to find out if they might be interested in joining you.
Well, that would be nice. You know what? Something just popped into my head. Yeah, I did see that, and I'm going to look through the recipes. I like some of those recipes. There was something that caught my eye. I don't know what it was, but it was sort of a back in the day recipe I remember my mom making. I love that. The point is all of our recipes that we feature on the recipe of the day are from people who are blind or visually impaired. All of them. Every single last one of them. Yeah. So no, that would be wonderful.
Renee, this is Annie. I have a question. So I have a guide dog, and I often hear, you know, I don't personally cook for my dogs, you know, because I have a pet dog as well. But have you ever had anybody come on to do recipes for their dogs and cats?
Well, no, I haven't, but I think that's sort of cool because I have a dog. And Brownie, she's actually on my foot right now, holding it up. I actually last week, believe it or not, I looked up a recipe for her because I got a little tired of hearing that one. What is it? Farmer's dogs?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, first we were told never, ever, ever give it regular food, right?
Right, right.
And now you can make a lot of money just making regular food. So last week I looked up a recipe for dog food on All Recipes. You can try. It was the simplest thing. What was it? It was like broccoli and some beef and potato. No, it was rice, I think. Broccoli, rice. Right. And I'm like, well, that's not kibble.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. So I'd be really interested in more, not the dog food so much, but like the snacks or the treats, you know, or even doggy toothpaste. I'd be interested in finding a recipe for, because dog toothpaste is horrible. Ugh.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yes. And it's me like neither. This. Yep. And cause when you're a guide dog user, your husbandry is cleaning their ears, brushing their teeth, you know, making sure you brush them, you know, all the time. So, you know, what's going on with them. So I'm like, you know, I'm just, yeah, very interested in that. If you develop anything like that, please let me know. Cause I'm, yeah.
Well, what was the other doggy thing you mentioned outside of the food?
Oh, toothpaste and dog treats. Like a lot of people I know bake for their dogs. They make, you know, baked cookies, but then I know people who also make frozen treats with yogurt or kefir and berries and yeah. And to do something really simple and healthy is probably a lot of fun, you know? So.
Yeah. You know, that would be nice. I'm going to go to All Recipes after I'm done with you guys and see what they have. All Recipes is my go-to, if I'm cooking for someone, that's my go-to recipe. But my recipes of the day are all people who are blind or visually impaired. But I would suggest to you, I've got friends who are blind or visually impaired who always use All Recipes as well. And they're always very clear and they're not, you know, like real busy with stuff on there. And they're simple and it's just very nice. I like it a lot. They're very clear and they're not complicated. They're not complicated at all. Sometimes when I'm cooking, I just don't want to be complicated. I'm like a slow cooker kind of person.
Yeah. Yeah. More than 10 ingredients. I'm like, even more than 5. I'm like, oh, really? More than 5?
My eyes are crossing.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, we had a couple of fun shows and we had blind professional chef versus a sighted professional chef.
Oh, wow. And
we had a good time with that, a really good time. The blind chef, the man who taught her to be a chef, her professor, who is a chef, was on the show, only we blindfolded him. And he was so good. When he found out that she was going to be in his class and that she was blind, he tried to learn himself some tricks that he could pass on so that she wouldn't feel like out of place or anything. He was real cool. That's on there. And then
yeah. He
had a blind mother versus her sighted daughter. That was a hoot. You know, we like to have fun. Somebody, when I told someone we were going to do it once, because it was not my idea. It was actually the blind lady with a sighted daughter. And somebody said, oh, that's just not right. And I go, well, you know, she wants to do it. And it turned out
right. Really
great, you know, and also it helps her daughter understand her mom better, you know?
Sure.
Because her mom went blind. She had a carjacking and it was a horrible thing. She had been sighted and then carjacking and she went blind from that. So it was like so fast that she went blind. It wasn't like a disease or anything that you can, you know,
sort
of fit into it. And we just had a great time with that. And then the two blind or the blind and sighted professional chef, that was a cool thing.
Mm.
And we always believe in promoting other people. Like I promote all other shows. I promote things all the time because that's our purpose. We're not here to be like, okay, we're at the top of the mountain or we're wherever we are. We are promoting everybody. We're lifting everybody up. It's not like one thing or the other or, you know, only promoting us. You know, it's not that all.
Right.
It's exactly the opposite.
Do you think you're succeeding in leaving your legacy with this?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I did have a moment of humility the other day and I put my name into AI and see what it
said. Oh no.
I know. It was a disease. It actually came up. But you know what? I sent it to my daughter and she was like so unimpressed. Oh, that's nice, Mom. And then
was AI factual or did it lie?
No, it was very factual. It was very factual. In fact, I posted it like as a show off. You know, when you're from the Midwest, the worst thing you can be is a show off. So I've had to get over that a little bit. But no, it was actually really factual.
Well, you know, you just have to go past that, right? And then and do more and be, you know.
I just keep going. There have been times where like I felt like, does anybody even really care? And then I get out of it. Like, you know what? This is what I'm doing. And I love the people who I meet, like all of you guys. And I just enjoy that a lot. That's where my love lies.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me about retiring the other day and I said, you can't retire from your purpose. You know,
That's a good point.
Yeah. I can't just stop. You know, I would feel like I would let down a whole community who came to know that maybe we were out there for them. So I can't stop. No, I can't stop.
How do we subscribe to your YouTube channel?
You go to my YouTube channel and hit like and subscribe.
Yep. It's as simple as that.
How do we find your YouTube channel?
It's called the Cooking Without Looking TV Show YouTube channel.
That's all we have to Google.
And you just go to YouTube. Yeah.
Like on YouTube, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. You just go to YouTube and in the area where you're looking for the page or you're looking for the channel. Got to get this terminology right. You're just looking for the channel, you write Cooking Without Looking TV Show and it'll pop up. And then pass it along to others like a disease. No, I just.
Oh, like a gift.
Yes, a gift.
But just go to YouTube and you'll find us. 160 of us. And then what I started doing, someone told me that some people would like our TV show also in podcast form. So I started doing that too. We have it in the television show form
And then I also edited it into the podcast form.
Well, it attracted my Echo device because she played episode 159 for me.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to definitely subscribe. So,
oh, thank you so much. And yeah. You guys email me if you want to be on the show, the podcast, or on both. Just email me. We don't have like some strange test you have to go through.
All right. I might be contacting you about those dog biscuits. Who knows?
Oh, that sounds good. And you know what? I might put that as recipe of the day next week because doggy toothpaste. I've never heard of it.
But, I wonder what it tastes like. I'm just curious. Well,
it's coconut oil.
Oh,
a little bit of baking soda. And if you can find low sodium chicken bouillon or something similar to that, you put that in. And I don't remember the ratios because I haven't made it in a while. And you mix it all together and you keep it in the refrigerator. And when you want to brush your dog's teeth, you take out a little and put it in your palm so it gets soft from your body heat. And then you rub the toothbrush in it and then, or your finger brush or whatever, your gauze pad, whatever you use, and then brush your dog's teeth.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. Well,
there should be more advertisement on TV about that. We hear other things about pets. Why not toothpaste?
Because a tube of doggy toothpaste costs $8.50.
Oh, that's crazy.
And it's like this gummy paste. It's really gross. I'm not putting that in my dogs. I know he eats gross things, but come on.
Well, you're here just with us, Annie. You know, like, I love running out of your own toothpaste and then just.
I'm afraid we are out of time for this edition of In Perspective. Renee, it was a real play. You're making a lot of people hungry out there, but that's okay. I'm glad you are. And hopefully people will find your YouTube channel and email you and get the links for your show and continued success, Renee. And yeah. Why should you retire from your purpose? I mean, really.
No, never.
Keep up the good work.
Keep going.
Annie, thank you very much for filling in for Peter today. It did a great job being a co-host. And for everybody out there, happy 4th. And go safe with God's abundant blessings. Thank you, Trish. Thank you, Herbie. And thank you, callers. Have a great day, everybody.